Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production.
Now available on Apple Podcasts,
Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Time for the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast.
Welcome to the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. Great week. Oh, my God. Great week. So much going on. I was in the news again on every show this week talking about the Dak Prescott situation. Again in the news. And also, J.J. Watt picked a team. Question is, did he pick the right team? We shall discuss. Let Russ cook. But where will his kitchen be? Is it in Seattle? Is it in Dallas, Chicago, Las Vegas, or New Orleans? Where will he cook? We shall discuss all of that on the MIP, and we will take a turn and turn a page with this big fight coming up this weekend in the UFC. Three championship fights. We talked to a former champion that's looking to be a champion again, my boy Kobe Covington. All of that right now on the MIP. And we start right here with the Dak Prescott situation. Let me first say this. I am sick and tired of this conversation. Oh, my God. This is insane that we are still having this conversation right now. Insane. There's no doubt Dak is deserving of a long-term contract. There's no doubt about that. He should be the starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. Why are we still here is what blows my mind. Right now, you know, we have until March 9th for the Dallas Cowboys to designate, and all NFL teams to designate their franchise player. That franchise tag, if they place it on Dak Prescott, is worth $37.7 million. Let's just say $38 million. I'm going to say that again. $38 million. That's what Dak will make. So first things first, I want to remove all this nonsense about they're disrespecting Dak. Stop. $38 million a year, it's not being disrespected. Let's stop. They're doing business. It's just business. You know, when you get to make 38, yeah, Dak should get, he deserves a long-term contract. He's earned a long-term contract. But two people have to come to an agreement on that. And obviously, Dak is going to always keep his number towards the ceiling. And Jerry, in good conscience, trying to do his job, is trying to get that number close as he can to the floor so he can do other things with it. I understand both sides of it. I don't say any side is disrespecting any side. They're just doing business. But what I do say is what happens is sometimes you have great men that have done great things and they carry a great ego. And you get a Jerry Jones and you get an agent that like Dak has, and these guys have gotten to where they are because they are great at what they do. And when you are great at what you do, you get an ego about things. You expect yourself to win. You think you will always win. And that's what these two guys are. I've always said, and I'm saying it here again, that is where it's most important, I think, for Dak to be a little bit more forceful on what he wants, I don't mind you push this thing to the end game if I'm Dak. I'm telling my agent, I'm telling Todd, push this thing to the end game. As far as you can, push it. Get me as close as you can to where we want, the number we want. And then come to me before all unravels. Come to me. Because if I'm Dak Prescott, I'm not trying to leave the Dallas Cowboys. Dak has made I don't know, somewhere 50, 60, 70 million dollars off the field already. Off the football field already. Russell Wilson, who's won a Super Bowl, gone to a Super Bowl, has won all 9 years basically in Seattle, I think only has a Bowles sponsorship. You see what I'm saying? Because that seat that you have as the Dallas Cowboys, that brings about a lot of notoriety and a lot of eyes that you can do a lot of other things with. That's why I keep saying, get all you can in the contract. But remember, you made, $60, $70, $80 million, something like that, off the football field. So don't lose all of that off the football field, chasing another $1 or $2 million a year on the football field. I want Dak to be very careful with that, because I've already told you, I personally love having Dak Prescott as the quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys, America's team. And honestly, all that he represents, he's just such a great dude, man. He's such a great dude. And Dallas has what Tom Brady gives teams right now. Tom Brady gives teams, wherever Tom go, he's the heart and soul of that football team. To get that at the quarterback position, it's pure gold. It's pure gold, people. If you can have the heart and soul of your football team at the quarterback position, you have pure gold. And you have a chance at doing something great, a dynasty. Kansas City has that right now. That kid's the heart and soul of their team. And he's a great player. Patrick Mahomes, they go to Patrick Mahomes. You watch when guys don't do well on the sideline, how he walks over and lifts them up. Just come on, go with me. That's what Dak is. But boy, I want to keep Dak in the Dallas Cowboys uniform. And at this place, I'm begging. I'm not lying. I'm begging Dak, please jump in this thing, man. Let's jump in this thing and make sure it gets done. You do not want to end up somewhere else. I don't care how many passes you throw, how many touchdowns you throw, how many yards you throw for. You ain't getting no $70 million off the field in Jacksonville. You ain't getting it. You ain't getting it. It ain't going to happen. Yeah, and you don't believe me? Ask Russ. He's been cooking in Seattle, and he ain't making it. I'm telling you right now, that's the key. These things here, we're getting to the place now where, and that's why everybody was talking about, oh, what Mike Irvin said. Mike Irvin said this. Mike Irvin said that. Because now the money, we're going to always be. I can tell you right now. Let me give you the money. The money is right now Patrick Mahomes at $45 million a year, but that's a little skewed because he's got a 10-year contract, right? But Deshaun Watson at 39, Russell Wilson at 35. Dak is going to go above Watson and below Mahomes, somewhere in there. No doubt about it. Now, the money is already getting pretty tight. $1 or $2 million a year here or there for these top quarterbacks. So with the money real close to each other, I think the most important thing becomes the chair that you sit in. Now we need to start ranking those quarterback positions. What, the Dallas Cowboys chair hold a certain amount of cachet over the Jacksonville Jaguars chair. You see what I mean? You want one of those chairs. Why do you think Russell Wilson team is giving you landmarks? Oh, we hadn't asked for a trade, but we will go to Dallas or New Orleans or Chicago or Las Vegas. All landmark spots, big cities that bring about a lot of opportunities. And if you can be the face of those franchises that raise those teams up, oh my God. Oh my God, you're all over the place, man. You're everywhere. You're on every station, outlet, everywhere. That's why he picked those teams. That's why he picked those teams. Y'all know Sierra, his wife, beautiful girl, beautiful lady, a beautiful family. I love Russ. Beautiful family. You don't think she's whispering in his ear, baby? We're a power couple. Do you know how powerful we can be if we were in Dallas? how powerful we could be, and we're the first to deliver the Las Vegas Raiders their championship. How powerful we could be in New Orleans, replacing Drew Brees. Oh my God. In Chicago, if I step on a football field in Chicago, the first play, I'm the best quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. In the history. I don't care. From the first snap, he's the greatest quarterback in the history of the Chicago Bears. Because they've never had that. They've never had a great quarterback. I love Gentleman Man. But don't y'all play with me about that. Don't y'all play with me about Gentleman Man. You know what I'm saying? It would be Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson and Sierra. They will be everywhere. And I need Dak, and I'm commingling these. I need Dak to understand that. That's why I say, Dak, push it as far as you can go, but don't put your seat in that play. Don't put your seat in that game. They're playing merry-go-round right now. We got quarterbacks moving around, and we got chairs that are saying, oh, sit here, sit here, sit here. If I'm Dak Prescott, I'm picking a chair with the star on it and say, this chair will not be there. And then I'm telling my agent, have we pushed it as far as we can go? Now, let's get a deal done. I'm not even talking about the possibility of not fully recovering from that injury. I'm not even talking about the possibility of getting another injury. Those should all weigh into it too. That's why we should not be playing this game with, well, let's bet on ourselves again in 2021. I'm not betting anymore. I'm going to lock this contract down right now and save my seat. And that's what I hope Dak Prescott does. The Cowboys are certainly better with Dak Prescott, certainly, and we know that. With Dak, they put up 32 points a game last year, or without him, only 21. So there's a huge difference right there that says Dak's value is intact, but it has to be a deal that both sides are ready to make. I am tired of talking about this conversation. And this is another damn offseason, folks. Another offseason where we're spending it talking about things. I'm talking about the Dallas Cowboys, talking about every other thing except what they should be talking about, which is winning a championship. We've been spending offseasons talking about money and contracts, and nobody's talking about championships. And until you put your mind where you want to go, you'll still keep going around and around in this hole. I'm telling you this, do it when you drive. I do it. I was in the car the other day, just driving. And I don't get to drive much because I always have drivers. So I love to drive when I can drive, right? And right to my left, somebody was like, Michael. And I looked to my left to wave. And I was just waving for a second. When I looked back, my car was going to the left. I said, wow, that's crazy. And then somebody on the other side said, Michael. I looked to my right and waved. How you doing? I'm a big fan. So I appreciate it. And then when I looked back, my car was going to the right. And I surmise that no matter what, even you should notice this from now on after I just told it to you. No matter where you look, that's where you're going. No matter where you look, that's the direction you're going. As a matter of fact, that's why in the Bible, the word vision, make sure out of all things that you have vision. You have vision. The Bible talks about it all the time because he's telling you you're going to go where you're looking. Have a vision of what you want to do. Have a vision of it. Keep looking at it and you'll run towards it. And I'm just saying, I'm sick of the Cowboys always talking about the money. That's all we've been doing is talking about the money. So then you get into the season, nobody's talked championships, and we don't drive a car anywhere near it. That's all. I just wanted to get back to talking about championships and talk about championships and get championships, and all that money and stuff will come. So I hope these guys get together and get this deal done. Or Russell Wilson says he'll take that deal. He'll take that deal, Dak. And that's what you have to be careful, because guys now are coming loose in the National Football League, quality quarterbacks. And Dak got the job on an injured Tony Romo. I just don't want someone else to come in and get the job on an injured Dak Prescott. This is the business that we are in. So please, Dak, step in this. put your stamp on this. The agent doesn't, you don't work for the agent. The agent worked for you. And I know you should take his counsel, but please, man, make sure you get this deal done. You don't want to lose this seat. This is not Kirk Cousins. This is the best seat I think you can have in the National Football League as the head, as the Dallas Cowboys quarterback. And I'm not saying that because I played for the Dallas Cowboys. I'm just saying it because it's real, because it's the truth. And I know a lot of Cowboy haters don't like it, but it is the truth. That's why Dak Prescott right now can stack his off-the-field money up against any other quarterback in the National Football League. Right now, Dak ain't been anywhere near the Super Bowl. But right now, he can stack his off-the-field money up against anybody in the National Football League because of that seat. Make sure, buddy, you hold on to that seat. And listen, Russ, we want to let Russ cook. And I would love to let Russ cook. But, Dak, you don't want Russ cooking here. This is your area. This is your team. Hold on to your team. Russ put three more teams on there that he wouldn't mind going to. He's put Chicago. He put New Orleans. He put Vegas. And I want to talk about that now. I looked at it and said, now, woo, out of all of them, Chicago? I love Chicago. It's one of my most favorite cities. Boy, I'm going to tell you, me and Dennis Rodman in Chicago, we were winning Super Bowls, and they were winning championships at that time. And Dennis Rodman and I, we would hook up in Chicago and then Vegas. You know, I was with Dennis when he was out there with Carmen Electra that y'all saw in The Last Dance. And we had been hanging out, too. I was like, oh, my God. When they were playing that Last Dance stuff and they started talking about that, man, I stood up like, oh, shit. Oh, they got no footage of, okay. Whew. I thought, whew. I was about to say, I'd already confessed all that stuff to my lady. I'm past that. We don't need to see that. We don't need to see it. I ain't want nobody to see that stuff. I saw Dennis a couple weeks ago in Florida. We were together at my boy Frank's spot, right, with COVID. And we're all there together. And I was talking to him about that. He said, oh, man, I kept you out of it. I said, yeah. You better keep me out of it. I done had enough stuff. I had enough problems. I don't need you bringing back up stuff. I done swim them oceans, buddy. I don't want to be in any more oceans with sharks. I'm good. So let's make sure we keep it to like it is. I love the city. I love the city. I do. I really do. I love the city of Chicago. I was a little thrown by why Russ put Chicago on that list. I mean, I'm talking about from the football team perspective. From a football team perspective. And I imagine he looked at that defense and said, you give me that defense, I can do something in that city. And he could. I believe he could if he had that defense he has with Khalil Mack and the way those boys play defense in Chicago. But to me, that would be, out of all the spots he put, that would be my fourth spot that I would land. Vegas? And Vegas is, oh, my God. I would put Chicago fourth, actually New Orleans third, because New Orleans got great coach, great team, and you put Russell Wilson in there, oh, my God, they're definitely Super Bowl contenders. But you're going to have to look at and deal with and fight Tom Brady. And, Russ, that's a battle that you ain't come out good on already now. Tom Brady already got you one time in the Super Bowl. And not that New Orleans is not a great spot, but I will put them three for you on this list. Vegas, I would put two just because it's Vegas. It's Vegas. And everybody goes to Vegas. And can you imagine if you're the first quarterback on the Las Vegas Raiders football team to bring a championship to Las Vegas? Las Vegas. All the stars in the world go to Las Vegas, and you're the star of the place where all the stars come. That makes you the star of stars. That would make him the star of stars, man. Are you joking? That's exactly. That would be incredible. Russ, it would blow up. And Sierra, they'll give Sierra one of those home-in living things like they gave Celine Dion, you know, when she just stay right here. We're going to pay you $200, $300 million. You perform here every night because we don't want Russ running around the country getting tired, trying to follow you. We're going to pay you over here. You sit here. Russ can play the game and come see you. That's what they would do. I'm telling you, that's what they would do in Vegas if he went to Vegas. And the Vegas, number two. But the number one spot, I already told you, is the number one seat. That's the Dallas Cowboys. If Russ Wilson get here, throw it out. It's through the moon. It's through the moon. I don't believe it will happen, but if it did, oh my God. Speaking of oh my God, J.J. Watt picked the Arizona Cardinals. They let him out of his contract in Houston so he can go and chase a ring. I thought that was admirable of their team, you know what I mean, to not ask for a helmet, a pair of shoulder pads or anything, just let him walk. That was nice of them, you know, to show that kind of loyalty. But then he turns and picks the Arizona Cardinals, which I believe could be possibly the fourth best team in the in that division, in the NFC West. Seattle, San Fran will be back full again. The Rams just got Matthew Stafford. And now, if Watt was 28, because they got some great young talent, I would say, oh, that's a great pick, boy, because that team can be good for a while. But Watt's not 28. Oh, they have a two-year contract, and I think it's going to take about 2 years for Kyler Murray to get up to Super Bowl speed, to be honest with you, and before that coach over at Kingsbury get up to Super Bowl speed. So I thought that was an interesting pick, but I won't doubt the man. Maybe he saw something that I did not see. Maybe he knows something that I do not know. Maybe that's why he chose that route. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he does in Arizona with him and Chandler Jones. I reached out to Chandler Jones today, too. I'm going to get to him. I reached out to Chandler Jones, John Jones. I wanted to talk to those guys. Speaking of John Jones, the guy we are going to talk to, he's a bad man, too. We're going to talk to right here on the MIP coming up next. We're going to flip this thing to some UFC. We're going to flip it to some UFC and talk to my man, Kobe Covington. Now, get this, though. Get this. And I'm going to UFC tonight because of that fight that's coming up this weekend. But we'll have Allen Robinson next week, because by Tuesday, all must determine the tags. All tags must be determined. Who's going to be franchised? What's going to happen? And Allen Robinson is the top wide receiver on the market. I've had plenty of teams call me to get an opinion on him already. That's why we got to get him right here on MIP so he can give you guys his opinion on what's about to happen. So don't miss that next week. But right now, let's start swinging some punches with Kobe Covington on the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast. I told you I'm very excited here. This is my first time venturing into this world. And most of you that follow me, you know how crazy I am about National Football League, but you know how crazy I am about the UFC. If the NFL is my wife, and she is, well, the UFC is certainly my mistress, and I love her dearly. I don't care what you say. You know, you don't supposed to love the mistress. You're supposed to be just playing with her. But I love mine. That's just what it is. And I went on venture into that world, and I brought in a good friend of mine, and he is a bad man. He's the number one ranked welterweight right now in the UFC with a record of 18-2. 18-2. This man does not lose fights. And when I first watched the fight, the one thing I loved about him, man, I watched him fight with heart. I mean, he just kept coming and kept coming. I said, this dude has heart and swinging with everything he has. And then I got a chance to meet and hang out with him, and we became great friends. I'm talking about the number one ranked welterweight in the world right now in the UFC, and that's Kobe Covington, my man Kobe. Kobe, thanks for taking the time, man, and giving me a moment. We got such a big fight, a huge card coming up this weekend. I want to get into that card with you, but I want to also talk about what's going on in that welterweight, because just the other day, I was reading where Masvidal said that he believes he's going to fight Usman in September for the belt. And I was like, wait, the number one ranked man is the man I have on the other side right here, right now, and Kobe. Kobe, what are your thoughts to all of that when you hear that?
Well, first off, it's an honor and privilege to be speaking with the GOAT, Michael Irvin. There was a fan that was asking me the other day on Instagram. They're like, what was one of your most special moments of your career? And I was like, I started thinking. I was like, you know what? Probably the most special moment of my career is when I won the welterweight title in Chicago, and you were sitting front row, and I looked through the cage after five rounds of exhausting fighting, and I knew I won. And I seen my childhood idol, Michael Irvin, sitting front row. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Michael Irvin. No way. That was honestly the greatest memory of my life and my career so far. So, you know, just seeing you, you know, you used to play during a generation of football where it was tough nose, man. You didn't sit out because your feelings weren't feeling good. You didn't sit out because you had a sprained pinky toe. Man, you played with heart. You played with passion. It was a different era of football back then. But going to today and talking about, you know, the fights and the welterweight division and all the stuff that's going on, you know, it's been frustrating, Mike. You know, I was supposed to fight Jorge Masvidal. Dana White called me after I fought Tyron Woodley, the ex-champ. I fought him last September, you know, finished him in the fifth round, made him quit. He tapped out. He was done with the beating I gave him. And then Dana White came to me and said, hey, I'm going to make you versus Masvidal. That's the fight to make. It's the fight for the 305. It's the fight to see who's the king of Miami. We even want to do it in American Airlines Arena. So I was on board. I said, let's do it, Dana. Even though I want my rematch and I want to fight Usman more than anybody in the world, because the first fight had a lot of controversy. There was a lot of stoppages in the fight. You know how sports work. Momentum is huge, you know?
Right.
If you take momentum from someone, I kick someone in the liver, and then they say it's a nut shot and they get 5 minutes to recover, that changes the whole momentum of the game. So, you know, I want to fight that guy again on a fair playing field. That's Usman. But I was willing to do a favor for the UFC and fight Masvidal, but he don't want to fight, man. He's scared to fight. We used to train together, Mike. I used to break him every day in the gym, man. I'd have him going crying to his mom, crying to his kids, you know. He just knows that I'm a bad matchup for him, so he's avoiding me. He'd rather take a losing paycheck to Usman than he would to me, because he knows what happens with me. And then, you know, Usman, he's just doing what he does. You know, he's looking for an easier fight, and I don't blame him. Look for the easier fights, you know, and do your thing. But it just sucks because I'm the number one in the world, and I don't get to go out there and prove it.
Yeah, there's a couple of things you said in that, Cohen. I love the way you handle things. First of all, how do you think Masvidal is going to handle you telling him that he went crying, wee wee, mommy, all the way home to his mommy and daddy? How do you think he's going to take that, man? And we'll get into. I love the way you guys can talk trash in this business. You know, in my business, every time you try to talk, don't say a word. We don't want to give nobody any bulletin board material. I get sick of that shit. You know, like, stop, man. Hey, whatever he has, he's going to bring, rather I say what I say or not. Why don't you guys think about that stuff? You don't worry about it. You just talk, and let it go.
Yeah, you know, the difference with this business is you can say fighting words, and I'm saying these mean, hurtful words. Well, if you got something to say about it, come see me. You can come fight me. We can settle this in a fist fight. And that's usually how this business works. But, you know, this guy doesn't want to fist fight me, and he knows I could say everything about him in the book. You know, I was making fun of him for being broke and having to pay his alimony payments, because, you know, he's got a couple different wives, couple different kids with wives. And, you know, I know he's got to come out and fight sooner or later to pay those alimony payments, but he's nowhere to be heard of. You know, I know it hurts him under the surface, but there's not a lot he can do about it, Mike, because I am his father.
But wait, you are so crazy, dude. You are crazy. And also, dog, I'm going to tell you something, dude, Kobe. When we were sitting out at dinner that night, and you find the first time you just told me what you said about, man, when I looked through that rope and saw you there, and really, we were there because you were in that fight. Remember, Frank, I called Frank. That's our friend, Frank, who owns the restaurants and the hotel. And I said, Frank, man. He said, yeah, I'm going to fight at Covington. I said, where are you? It's Chicago. I said, man, I'm on my way. I'm right now. And he had some seats somewhere. I said, man, get rid of them seats. I'm calling Dana. We're going to sit right up front, right there. I said, when Kobe looks out and looks in the ring, he's going to see us right there. And then you came back and said that to me. I was like, oh, my God. That was insane. That was insane. You know, it was an incredible evening, man. And that was a hell of a fight. And I'm going to tell you something. Because Willie Whitley is over in 205 or 305 also. You know, he's in that area. So you're trying to clean the area out if you get a chance to fight Masvidal. How can you push? Or can you push that fight to happen? Or will they allow Masvidal to go back? Because Usman just beat Masvidal also. So why are they running that fight back before they run your fight back with them?
Yeah, you know, Mike, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, if you look, they just fought a year and a half ago or a year ago, and, you know, it was a lopsided win for Usman. It wasn't even close or competitive. Masvidal didn't win any round. He lost every single round, five rounds, and he hasn't fought since then. And he's been sitting on the shelf ducking fights with me for the last 7 months. And then all of a sudden, you're going to reward that guy? I mean, honestly, they're turning off the fans and they're turning off the people. And you're supposed to give the fans what they want, but you're not giving the fans what they want. The number one thing the fans want, they want me and Masvidal to fight because there's a serious grudge there, Mike. We used to be best friends. We lived together for 2 years. We both live in Miami. We both reside here. He was talking a lot of reckless things in the media. Oh, it's on site when I see Colby. He'll never be the same person if we fight again, this and that. But then now he doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to talk. He doesn't want to walk all that talk. I talk the talk and I walk the walk. You know, I'm a plain and simple. I'm a straight shooter. You know, I'm honest, but, you know, I back up everything I say. He's not the same way. He can't back up what he said. And, you know, he's just looking to ride off into the sunset without ever having to fight me because he knows, you know, he'd have to see a psychiatric, you know, person for the rest of his life after I'm done with him.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. And people from all over the world can visit their showroom, learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/Teams. Do you really believe you have that mental edge now? And I know, like, if I played a practice against somebody every day or worked against them every day, and I know, you know, there's some, you know, when you got somebody a number, you know, when they don't want to see you, like, dog, trust me, he doesn't want to see you. You know. Do you really believe you have that kind of that edge over Masvidal and that he's really running from fighting you?
100%. I know. You know, it would have been like the cornerbacks back in the day trying to guard you. They knew you were untouchable. They knew they couldn't stop you from scoring. They were honestly looking for another way. They were trying to go to the other side of the field to avoid the embarrassment of you just completely burning them. So it's a similar scenario, you know. I used to knock the guy out every day in training and just play with him like a little baby, you know. The coaches would tell me to go easy on him most of the time. They'd be like, hey, man, go easy on Masvidal today. He's got a fight coming up. Keep his confidence high. We don't want to kill his confidence right now. Be a good training partner. Hey, I was a team player. I was a nice guy. But now, you know, this is an individual sport. You know, this is the fighting business. This isn't the feelings business, Michael. And I want to break his feelings and I want to break his face. But, you know, he's scared. And that's okay because he can be a coward and he can run from me forever, but I'm still going to be here and the fans are going to know who was here to really fight the best fights.
Okay, now let me just ask this now, because when you spend that kind of time together and you're out and about, you know, you run around those beautiful things, and I see you always have beautiful things around you. Well, let's call them just beautiful people around you. We'll call them beautiful people. You do your promotion.
Mamacitas.
Right, with those beautiful people around you all the time. He has beautiful people around him. So I was just wondering, and you guys spent all that time together. Have you ever crossed paths with the beautiful people that maybe you had a beautiful people, then he had a beautiful people, and maybe y'all kind of mess with the same beautiful people? Where did this bad blood come from? If you were roommates and boys at one time, how did we get to just this bad blood?
I'll be honest, Mike. You know, like, there's one thing that he hates more than anything. He's a competitor like me. He likes to be a competitor. And there's one thing that he hates more than being a losing fighter or not being the best fighter, and that's being the best in the bedroom. And the thing is we used to hang out with a lot of porn stars back in the day. That's why I got the name Porn Star Pardio. And, you know, he hooked up with a couple porn stars that I hooked up with. And he found out that why I was the cardio king and that these girls wanted to keep coming back to me and they didn't want to go to him. So it killed his ego, Mike. It completely killed his ego as a man, and he's never been the same. He got jealous. He got envious. He turned his back on me, and that's why he's the street Judas, Michael. He's not the street Jesus. He's the street Judas.
You are crazy, dog. No, you crazy, man. You know, I was poking the bear on this girl thing, but you ran all the way at it. You know what I'm saying? You ran all the way at it. Y'all never had any of them. Y'all never had, you know, in wrestling, they have tag teams. Now, you know, I know MMA, there's no tag team. But since you're roommates, I would imagine y'all had some friendly moments together with people having, you know, big parties. Like the old Mike Irvin used to have. Like I got called back way back in 95 when I got caught in the hotel room having that kind of, you know, that kind of orgy party kind of thing going on, you know. So I would imagine y'all had some of that. I'm going to let that go. I'll just let it go from there. Okay, in the welterweight right now, you got Masvidal. There's a lot of talk right now about you possibly fighting Edwards. You know, Edwards or Burns. If the Masvidal fight doesn't happen, it looks like what he's talking about, he's about to fight Usman. Where does Kobe go then after that? Where does Kobe go? Where was his next fight be?
Yeah, my next fight, you know, I want the biggest names, the biggest fights there is in the division. I'm going to leave it up for the fans and the people what they want me to fight, you know. I'm in my prime right now, Mike, and I don't want to waste my prime anymore. I've been waiting 7 months to fight Jorge Masvidal because Dana White promised me Jorge Masvidal. He swore on everything after I beat up Woodley, the ex-champ, and I finished him. He said, hey, I'm getting you and Masvidal done. The fans want to see it. That's the fight, the grudge match. They even offered us the gig as the Ultimate Fighter coaches, and it would have been perfect. I could have brought in you, the greatest receiver of all time, to be, you know, a volunteer coach for that season. It would have made for drama TV that everybody wants to see. But, you know, he's a coward, and they want to reward cowards. And unfortunately, you know, if you have a couple extra fans these days, maybe you have a couple thousand more fans than someone else. I guess that's what gets title shots, not rankings. Because if you went by the ranking system,
right?
Like I know the NFL, they go by the ranking system. You win the NFC championship, you're going to the championship game.
Right.
Like, there's no doubt about it. But it's not like that in the UFC. They kind of pick and choose who they want. And, you know, it's just there's no rhyme or reason really to everything that happens. And the champions, you know, of course, they're going to pick and choose the easier fights, and they don't want the hard fights. So, you know, it's a lot of politics. But, I'm training hard and I'm working hard every single day, Mike. And, you know, I'm hoping to get back in there in like a month or two. And I don't know who it's going to be. I know that kid, Leon Scott, he hasn't fought in 2 years. You know, I'm not going to do favors for that guy and fight that guy. He's fighting in 2 weeks, but I want to fight next month. So I want to fight someone who's coming on a win streak, that Gilbert Burns. You know, he's coming off a loss. You know, he got knocked out. He didn't look too good.
Right.
So I think I want to fight this kid, Michael Chiesa. He's been calling me out, Mike. He says he's the king of the Northwest. He's called me out the last three fights.
Mike.
So.
Mike Chiesa, yeah. I know Mike. I know Mike well, too. I know Mike pretty well. I didn't know Mike was calling you out. I saw Mike in Chicago a couple weeks ago. We sat down and had a drink together. And he has some heart. And he goes hard, too. I got to give him credit. He'll fight hard. What about – I've been also hearing about a fight possibly with Nate Diaz, with you and Nate Diaz. Now, that would be – a big fight. I mean, a fight that a lot of people would want to see, especially with much noise as Nate likes to talk in the ring. But Nate usually, you know, he has that gas tank that he can talk and wears people out. But Kobe, you got that gas tank. Like, you don't wear, that's what I love about you. You got heart. You got a gas tank. That would be a credible fight. What do you think about that fight?
Yeah, it's a great fight for the fans, you know, two legends in their own rights and accomplished a lot in the sport. But, you know, the thing is the same thing with him. He doesn't want to fight me, Mike. He doesn't want to fight where he just knows he gets completely obliterated. You know, he's not going to take a fight where he has zero chance to win. You know, he wants to take these fights where maybe he has a 50% chance to win. But a fight with me, I mean, the Stockton soy boy, I mean, the guy's eating soy for a living. You know, he's on the little vegetarian diet. He's not ready for real alpha male, man. America's champ. America's champ has no boundaries. Anybody can get it, Mike. I don't really care. They're getting beat, whoever it is.
Kobe, you do such a good job at promoting, man, and always for UFC fighter, you're always somehow, some way in the conversation, no matter what. I mean, you know, and you speak your mind. You speak your mind. You just spoke your mind again about LeBron James. Just talk to me about this thing you have with LeBron James. What's going on with that?
Yeah, you know, my biggest thing with LeBron is just that he's been a hypocrite, you know, and it's hard to see because I used to really love LeBron. I used to love watching him play basketball. But as soon as he started opening his mouth and trying to get into politics, and he's very uneducated with the way he comes across, you know, there's a double standard with the way he talks, you know, and I just don't like it. You know, he's putting a target on law enforcement's backs, and I'm a big, big supporter of the law enforcement. I go to Miami Beach PD all the time. I have a good friend. His name's Sergeant Charlie Weiss. He's the sergeant of the Miami Beach Police Department. He's in my corner for every fight now. And man, I respect what law enforcement and you know, the men in service do for us. You know, they keep our streets clean. You know, they law and order. You know, you want to defund those guys, but who are you going to call? Who? LeBron, you're being a hypocrite because you're saying, oh, cops are all bad. But what do you mean? You're using cops to protect your family and give you private security every single day. So it just, I had to call him out on his stuff, you know. And then also, you know, a majority of the money that LeBron makes comes from endorsement deals, and it comes from sweat labor over in China, you know. And the fact that he doesn't want to speak up about Hong Kong, but he'll speak up against anything else about how cops are such bad guys and this and that, and paint a target on their back. I think he had a direct result into what happened to David Dorn, the officer that was shot and killed, you know, right after he put up that tweet, putting a target on those backs, you know, an officer goes and gets shot and killed. So, you know, I want there to be two sides of the spectrum, Mike. I don't want there to just be one side and no one is going to talk the other side. I'm not afraid to go out there and put my voice out there and speak from the other side, because I can come with facts, and I always come with facts, and facts don't care about your feelings. Just like my friend Candace Owens says.
Now, Kobe, there's a lot in that, Kobe. To stretch that to say, because what I heard you just say is that LeBron's responsible for a police officer's death because of what he has said, because he has put some things out. You don't think that's a bit of a stretch? You don't think that's possible for LeBron to be, because what we're saying here, LeBron to be pro-black without being anti-policeman? Maybe he's just pro-black, but that doesn't mean he's anti-policeman. Do you not think that's possible?
I think that's possible, definitely. But just the way he went about it, and, you know, just as soon as there was every time there's a shooting with police involved, and he's talking about a 1% of a 1%, Mike. He's not talking about everyday things. We're talking, you know, no one's perfect in this world. We all make mistakes, you know. No one's perfect but God in this world. And to label a group of people, you know, as a certain way, just because of one scenario, like, we don't know the scenario, you know, a couple, you know, with the shootings that happened, you know, there was some criminal acts happening at that time. And they were just coming to serve the law and protect people around them. And, you know, sometimes things happen and you get caught in the crossfire, but to continually kind of bash those guys and put a target on those backs, it just wasn't cool with it. And, you know, he has such a big platform and he's such a role model for kids these days, man, that he shouldn't be doing that. I think that he should stand up for what he believes in his rights and his freedoms and everything that he stands for the black community. I'm all about that. But to put a target on law enforcement's back is just very hypocritical, because you're using law enforcement to protect you and your family every single day.
And God knows we are all using all of law enforcement's first responders. We need them all too. And we would be a total chaos without those guys. That is God heaven. Lead the truth. We all know that. But the LeBron thing, I people will say, Kobe, people will say that you go hard at LeBron because you go hard with Trump. What do you say when they say that? You only go hard at LeBron because you go so hard with Trump.
I would say that that's not accurate. That's not facts. That has nothing to do with it. You know, I'm going hard at LeBron because I just see a hypocritical guy who's implementing a double standard into our society, man. You got to call things straight down the middle every way. There can't be a gray area, you know, it's got to be one or the other. And the fact that you're using law enforcement every single day, and then the next day you're putting a target on their back and you're saying that they're against your people and they're against the people and they're such bad human beings. I mean, these guys, every day they leave their house, Mike, they don't know if they're going to come home to their family. You know, that's the risk that they assume every day they're on the job, to protect our communities, to keep our society safe and clean and not running full of murderers, running full of rapists, running full of, you know, all types of bad people in the world. So, you know, my thing with LeBron is, you know, he's not like Michael Irvin. Michael Irvin's freaking tough. LeBron's a guy, he gets cramps, he's sitting out of a series. He gets a little finger toenail jam, you won't see him for 6 or 7 games. So he's not Michael Irvin tough. And if LeBron has something to say, come see me, man. I'll dribble that head right off the basketball, right off the court.
Speaking about, since you're talking about going at it with LeBron James, let's jump into watching some of these other guys that are not fighters get in the ring and fight or getting, well, not having gotten in the octagon, but certainly getting in the ring. You know, the Paul brothers, you watch Jake Paul knock out Nate Robinson. You see Logan Paul trying to set up a fight with Mayweather. What are your thoughts when you see those guys entering that space?
You know, when I see those guys in the ring, I see the business opportunities and the way that combat sports has formed into today. You know, just as I was talking about earlier, how you're going to give Jorge Masvidal a rematch at Usman when he clearly lost the first fight and he hasn't fought since then in over a year. They're just giving him a rematch because he has a couple extra followers than me and has more followers than everybody in the division. So that's kind of what the Logan Paul brothers are. They got famous off of YouTube. So they have a ton of engagement, a ton of interaction, all types of fans that are always tuning in and want to see them doing whatever they're doing. And now they're promoting fights, you know, and they're doing big business. They're selling pay-per-views and they're entertaining. People want to see them. And that's what this is all about, is being entertaining. The fighters today, man, Mike, they don't have charisma like you did back in the day when you were on the field. These fighters are weak, man, and they have no personality, man. Their personality is worse than a wet mop. So, you know, people want to see the Paul brothers fight. And honestly, I hope I get to fight one of them. They've been talking reckless about MMA fighters. I know Jake Paul's out there running his mouth, and he's about to fight a former UFC fighter in my weight division that didn't even win one fight. His name's Ben Askren, and, you know, he's a bum. So, you know, they need
Ben want to fight now. Anyway, Ben want to fight. Isn't that who Masvidal knocked out when he ran across the ring, right? When he ran across the ring, boom. But that's the thing. Ben is more of a grappler, not a puncher. So why is he taking a grappler into a punching ring?
Exactly. Ben Askren can't even punch himself out of a wet paper bag, Mike. Why are you handpicking this guy, Jake Paul, handpicking this guy that doesn't even know how to throw a punch? He's never thrown a punch in a UFC fight. He's purely a grappler and a wrestler who dives in for legs, and that's why he got knocked out. He's diving in because he's scared to punch. He's scared to get hit. So, you know, of course, that's why the Paul brothers are looking for an easy payday, and they're hoping it will give, you know, them validation in the MMA world, in the combat sports world, that, hey, the Paul brothers are for real. They're not just YouTube guys. These guys can fight. So we're going to fight a guy that doesn't even know how to throw a punch and can't fight, and Ben Askren.
But would you take that fight, though? Would you take that fight with Jake Paul? Would you step in for me? Because I do believe. You're a puncher. You're a puncher. And you got wind. You go all day. I mean, that would be a crucial fight. You know, would you take a fight against one of those guys, against Logan or Jake Paul?
Absolutely. You know, if they want to – but they don't want to fight a real fighter, Mike. They want to fight, you know, guys that play in the NBA. You know, they want to fight celebrities that have never
the
thrown a punch.
The smallest guy that ever played in the NBA is who he fought. I was like, wait, somebody asked me that. Man, do you feel bad that he... I said, he picked the smallest dude to ever play in the NBA. I said, that doesn't bother my black. That doesn't bother my man. Go pick somebody else. You know what I mean? You can't pick the smallest guy and then hold your hand, hide, and everything. It didn't work that way. So, no, I wouldn't have a problem. I didn't have a problem with it. I would love to see you get in the ring with one of them, though. I mean, I would love to see that.
Yeah, but, you know, they're too busy in my DMs, Mike. Oh, Colby, you're the greatest fighter. I'd love to train with you sometime, bro. Bro, bro. Oh, bro, you're such a great fighter.
Oh, they DM you on that, Colby. They DM you like
that. Oh, yeah.
They DM you. Wait.
The fanboys.
And you sitting here dropping on them like this. They're telling you they're fanboys, and they're dropping on them like this right here. Say, don't DM me. Come and box me. Come and fight me. Stop playing. Stop playing with that. Stop playing.
They crossed the line when they started training with the street Judas Jorge Masvidal in Miami. They picked sides. So there's a line in the sand. They just crossed the sand. So now they're my enemies, and I want nothing to do with them but get in a boxing ring. We can fight, dude. Let's do this boxing match. You know, I want to – I want to get in with them and expose them to the world. Dude, what do you have, 100 pounds on Nate Robinson? I mean, it wasn't even a fair fight. You had a guy that's in his 5 foot, you know, 5 foot five, 5 foot six versus a guy who's 6 foot two, 100 pounds bigger. That's not even a fair fight. If he wants a fair fight, I'm a fair fight. You can get 40, 50 pounds, whatever weight difference. I'm still putting you to sleep, Paul. You're a YouTube bitch, and you'll never be anything more.
You're a great dude to sit and have a conversation with. I just love the way you deliver. Everything is a one line. You know, you can pull that out and use that. You can pull that out and use it. It's just, it's all really is all good stuff, man. It really is. Let's talk about a little bit, because we got, you just talked about, he fought a guy that he had 100 pounds on. I'm watching this weekend coming up. Israel Adesanya fighting, I don't even know how to pronounce his name. He just knocked out Reyes. Blanche, however you pronounce his name. I'm doing him a disservice.
It's a tough Polish name.
Yeah, it's a Polish name. But he's stepping up is what I'm getting to. Because Israel is a 185 pound. He's going up to 205 pounds. He's going up weight to try to get another belt. First of all, tell me, what is that like for a fighter to go up a weight, and he's going up a class? I mean, to go up from a 185 to light heavyweight to 205, what is that like? What's the most difficult thing about making that transition?
I think the biggest difference in the transition is just the power. You know, the speed is going to be a lot different. He's going to feel a lot quicker, and he's going to be able to beat the guy to the punch, but it's just going to be a matter of power. That guy's going to have – he can pack an extra 20, 30 pounds in his punch. So, you know, Israel's never fought a guy that can literally put your lights out with one punch. He's like knocked his last four or five opponents out. They call him the Polish power, Jan Błachowicz. But, you know, Israel's looked very good. He's looked unbeatable. Błachowicz.
That's how you say. Why you didn't say that when I was struggling with his name? You should have stopped and said his name right.
I couldn't tell you if you put a gun to my head, Mike. I still wouldn't be able to tell you how to say it.
But that sounds like right. Maybe we got it wrong, but that sounds right. But I'm with you on that, because I watch. Hey, listen, your boy, if he gets hit by this dude here, oh my God. Oh my God. I mean, it's going, because some guys have hit him. Guys have hit Israel. You know, Whitaker, everybody's gotten a good hit on him, but he was able to withstand it. And I don't know if he's going to be able to withstand this hit, if he takes this hit. So you say he'll be quicker offensively, but he has to be quicker defensively to make sure he doesn't take a blunt hit. Do you not agree?
I couldn't agree anymore. You know, he's definitely going to walk into punches. He's been hit before, you know, but, you know, an extra 20 pounds in weight from this guy, that's a lot to give up, you know. And the odds were very weird, too, because they had Adesanya as a 3-1 favorite. I mean, that's a lot to give a guy coming up and giving up 20, 30 pounds in weight. So, you know, it's going to be really interesting. All the bettors out there, they might be able to get rich this weekend by betting the underdog in Błachowicz.
Yeah, I think that's going to be an interesting fight, man, to watch it. I can't wait to watch that fight, man. Are you going to the fight, or will you be in Florida to watch it?
Yeah, I'll probably watch it over at the Hard Rock. If you want to come out, we'll be at the rooftop bar right next to Dare Nightclub, owned by the Mortons, my boys. And they have a nice setup, some nice lounge chairs, you know, Lazy Boy couches, really, really nice view overlooking all of Fort Lauderdale. So if you ain't got anything going on, Mike, come out, brother.
I'm going to have to call my boy Jim Allen over there, the CEO. He was reaching out to me the other day. You know Jim? Oh, at Hard Rock, Jim's a good man. Runs everything. Okay. He's a great dude, man. Takes real good care of his dudes, man. We're working on some Miami stuff that we're thinking about doing over at the Hard Rock. Yeah, you know, so it's always, man. And that Hard Rock, what they've done when they rebuilt it, that guitar thing, it's so beautiful over there, man. It's so beautiful. I got to stay over there just the other day, man. Kobe, I want to ask you some more about this weekend, man. Amanda Nunes, talk to me about your thoughts on her. I mean, I think she's just incredible, man. I hit her in her DM all the time now. I don't mind, you know, her and Nina, because, you know, her and her girl, her and her wife, Nina. I'm always DMing them because I love them, man. What are your thoughts of her and her place in this sport and her legacy?
You know, her legacy, you know, she's definitely one of the baddest women to ever, you know, face in the octagon. I remember when I first used to train at the same gym as her And she used to fight like some of the amateur men, and she was like knocking out the amateur men. And I was like, whoa, man, that's a girl knocking out boys. Like that's not right. That's not what's supposed to happen. Testosterone, you know, is not supposed to get beat up by a woman.
You saw her knock out a dude?
Yeah, I saw her knock out a dude. It was crazy.
Dude, wait. What happened to the dude? How the hell can he ever walk back in that gym again? What happened to that dude?
Safe to say, Mike, he never came back to the gym. So
I don't blame that man. There's no way I could walk back in that gym again if that happened to me. But Amanda Nunez, she can knock you out. She's a bad girl. She's a bad girl, man. I love watching her fight, and she has a fight against a girl that could go. She's like 6'2", and she can swing. I watched her punch somebody yesterday. I was watching the countdown to this weekend and everything, and I watched her, man, and she put somebody out, and I was like, wow, that's going to be interesting to watch those two. Because, you know, when somebody's lanky, you tell me, when you get a lanky fight, tall fighter like that, the John Jones, the Israel, what makes them difficult? When they're that lanky and tall,
what makes them the most difficult and unpredictable is that they can have a jab or two right in your face at any moment because their reach is abnormally bigger than you're used to. You know, you're used to a certain range and a certain timing and distance, but when you're a longer fighter, I mean, they can just touch you like that and be right in your face and kind of overwhelming you. So, you know, it's tough to get on the inside of people that have really long reach. You know, Mike Tyson was the best, you know, the way he moved his head, coming in the inside, bum, 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 and bobbing and weaving and coming in the inside. But sometimes it's tough, you know, people stiff you from distance and you're not able to get on the inside. So, you know, it should be an interesting fight, you know, but if we're talking about some of the greatest women of all time, I got to go with my girl, Ronda Rousey, Mike. She's really transcend this sport. She's a trailblazer. I mean, she brought the generation of women that it gave them another opportunity that they never had. I mean, she's into movies. She's into WWE. She's a larger than life figure. And I really think she transformed women's fighting, gave the opportunity to a woman like Amanda Nunes to be in the position she's at today.
Yeah, but and I do too. She really did. She brought all eyes. She's the first woman to have a main event fight. Ronda Rousey was supported of it. I mean, she carried the crowd. The crowd came. But I thought that, you know, after the Holly Holmes turnaround, I thought the Holly Holmes said, okay, that was a statement. The Ronda, she didn't improve. Like you talked about, you didn't improve on those punches enough. You know, I remember I went all the way to Brazil to watch her. I think she was fighting, was it Beth Crochet? Beth over there, she was fighting. She was Beth Crochet. She's a puncher. And Ronda knocked her out. I was in the front row right there. You know, it was incredible. It was insane. Me and my kids, my sons, we went over there. And she knocked out. I said, Ronda's trying to prove to people that she can swing with those fists. Right. But she's really a grappler. You know, she wants to get you down. She wants to arm bar you. But then when she went against girls that can really fight, really punch, like the Holly Holmes and of course, Amanda Nunes, I thought I clearly saw, okay, now this that next generation. That's a little bit too good for her punching wise. If she can get a hold of them, maybe she has a shot. But punching wise, they've taken this game to a new level. Amanda Nunes, like you just said, she punches like a dude. I don't care what she knocks out dudes, man. What she did to Cyborg?
Yeah,
that was a great.
That was nasty.
That was your kind of stuff, though, Kobe, because it was just two people swinging. Whoever connects, connects. And whoever gets hit. But we just going to let it go. That's the kind of stuff I like. I love, because I ain't got enough heart to do it. So if I can see y'all.
Yeah, right.
No, come on, bro. No.
You got some of the most heart that's ever been displayed in sports history, Michael. Don't freaking downplay yourself like that, man. Mike, you would have been a UFC champion. Nothing less. Take it to the bank. Kobe Chaos Covington said it. And I'll stand by. Anybody got something to say, come see me.
Well, no, buddy. I don't know, man. It's one thing to see a football coming. I can catch that and you can take it. But to see that punt, that's a whole different thing. I watched.
The way you ran routes, the explosiveness in your feet, Mike, are you kidding me? I can't keep up with that explosion. You hit them one time, they're done. Your speed is unmatched. No one can match Michael Irvin's speed. End of discussion.
Did you see how Derek Lewis hit Blaze last couple weeks? Ooh. Oh my God. When he hit him, I thought he hit him like in the chest and he fell out. That was not a clean hit. And then he hit him twice more times. I thought the dude was dead. I really did. I said to myself, if he hits me like that, when I wake up, I'm going straight to get a gun and I'm coming back. I got to get some answers to you hitting me like that in front of my kids. You can't knock me out like this in front of my that's the kind of thing, man, that you just I'm amazed at. And I see guys like you get hit and get up and keep coming back. Kobe, I love sports because I love the story of sports. I love the heart of sports, what you're talking about. I want to see somebody reach down deep inside and snatch victory right from defeat, beat down, tired, but said, no, I will not cave in. I'm inspired by that. And that's what I see when I watch you guys, man. That's why I love it. But doing it myself like that.
You had a lot of traits that cross over. Think about your hand-eye coordination. Think about your vision when you're running a route at 20 miles per hour and you got defenders around you and you have to catch a ball. That type of hand-eye coordination, that type of vision is the same type of vision that translates to boxing. You see everything clearly. You're moving. They hit you, but you see it because your eyes are open and you're so focused on the target, the football, you know, running routes. Man, your explosiveness, your athleticism, guys wouldn't have been able to keep up with you. And I guarantee that you would have had 5 years to train MMA. I guarantee you would have been UFC champion and there would have been no questions asked.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles transform the way they work. After closing their New York City showroom, they started doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, people from all over the world can come into their showroom. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams. Cool, there's no doubt I'm going to see you fight Usman again, man. Tell me, what will you do different this time to get the victory when you get a chance to fight Usman? Because you do believe Usman's going to keep that belt until you take it from him, right? Do you see anybody being able to take that belt from Usman?
No, no one's going to take it from him except for me. I'm the only challenge in the division for him, and Usman knows that. That's why he's running scared, Mike. That first fight, I kicked him in the liver, Mike. He called a nut shot. He got 5 minutes to recover. He would have been done. He changed my momentum. I was about to knock him out and finish him in the second round, and they gave him a break. The third round, same thing. I kick him in the head. He's kind of a little bit wobbly. He calls an eye poke, and I barely graze his right foot, right eye, and he's showing on camera to the doctor, oh, my left eye, look at my left eye. And they showed on the camera like it barely touched his right eye. Like, dude, you're not even a good actor. At least sell and show the eye that you accidentally got grazed. Don't fake and show the other eye because they can go back and watch that video and see that you're a bad actor. I mean, that's two breaks he got for 10 minutes. It changes the momentum of the fight. It was an early stoppage, Mike. I got clipped in the fifth round, but guess what? I was winning the fight 3-1 on the judges' scorecards, and we're in the fifth round of a championship fight, 24 and a half minutes in, and you're going to stop the fight with 30 seconds left? That's incompetence as a ref. Incompetence. And there's a reason that ref was incompetent that night and did that to me. He hates Trump, and I'm a Trump supporter, so of course he's going to stack the deck against me and not give me an even playing field. So all I want, Mike, is a rematch with Marty Fake Newsman, a.k.a. Kamaru Usman, on an even playing field, and I guarantee I'm taking that belt, Mike. And let me tell you why. Because I've gotten completely better since I fought him 15 months ago. I changed camps, Mike. I brought in coaches that care about me, the best kickboxing coach, the best jiu-jitsu coach. I've improved my game times a million. This is Colby Chaos Covington 2.0. So you're talking about a guy 15 months ago that was winning the fight and should have won the fight. It was an early stoppage. I stood right up and protested the stoppage, and I was winning the fight. So there needs to be a rematch. The fans want to see the rematch, Mike. That was an exciting fight, maybe one of the best fights ever in the history of the division. So they got to run this fight back. But you know what, Mike? I think he's made so much money now that he doesn't want to fight me. He doesn't want a tough fight. I honestly think he's going to fight Usman. He's going to ride off into the sunset. He doesn't want to show that he's the best in the world. Because if you're the best in the world, you go out there and prove it. You have no stones unturned. There's stones unturned with me and him. We have unfinished business, Mike. And you know that. And everybody in the world knows that. I was winning that fight. I'm a better fighter now. And I want to fight. I went out there and finished a former champion Woodley since our last fight. What's Masvidal done? Sit on the sidelines, you know, freaking done nothing. So, you know, what's different and what's changed is I'm a better fighter. And, you know, next time I fight him, I'm going to make him wrestle a little more, get him a little bit more tired, get the blood filled up to the oxygen and the muscles. And then I'm going to knock him out. Mike, you heard that prediction here on Michael Irvin, the greatest of all times podcast. I'm knocking out Kamaru Usman next time we fight.
There's two things right quick before I let you go, because I know I can talk UFC all day to you with you, man. But the two things you said in there, the two things that you said that you're going to wrestle with him more. I thought you did a great job of not allowing him to take you down and made him fight you on his feet, all, you know, because you defended all the takedowns. Usman wants to lock up and take down. When you made him fight on your feet, I thought that was a great strategy. Now you're saying you want to wrestle with him more. Is that not his strong point?
That's my strong point, Mike. There's
I know you. I know you're NC2A champion wrestling. Now I should have made sure I put that and made sure all the people know that too. That you took a championship there. You like me, dog. You're a champion on all levels. You know what I'm saying? That's why we are what you call those S brothers. We are champions on all levels. You got to put S in there. You know what I mean? Some people come to a champ. I won in college. Oh, I won in the pro. We won them all. You won on all levels. Like, I won on all levels. So yeah, you're right. I should have thrown that out. But I expected him to wrestle, grappler more. And you're saying you think you can out-grapple him too.
Mike, you know better than anybody in college football, because I know you've been an analyst. You know, you're one of the greatest analysts of all time for the NFL and for college football. Wouldn't you say there's a drop in level change from Division I to Division II?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Kamaru Usman was Division II. I was Division I. Yeah. I was competing against the best wrestlers in the entire world and stopping them all and beating them all. So there's a reason Usman didn't try and wrestle me and get in those exchanges, Mike, because he was scared and he knows what would happen. And there's a reason I didn't want to wrestle, because I wanted to give the fans a real fight. I wanted to give them a stand-up war, and I wanted to give them, you know, just a great fight. So, you know, next time it's going to be different. This is mixed martial arts. I'm going to mix up all the skills. He can't keep up with me in the pressure department, in the wrestling department. He gets in a couple of wrestling scrambles with me, Mike. All that blood starts filling up into his big muscles, because he's got really big muscles. You know, he's done a couple of steroids in his day. So when we get those muscles filled up with a little bit of blood, I promise you I'm leaving him unconscious. Last time I wobbled him 4 or 5 times. This time he's not getting wobbled. He's going to sleep night for good.
Two things, man. You think he, if he beats Masvidal, you think he's walking away and retiring? Why would you say that?
Because there's no other easy paychecks to make that he can make. You know, George is an easy paycheck. Of course he's going to take that fight, and he's a pretty big paycheck. He'll make a couple million to beat up George again like he did the first time, but he doesn't want a real challenge. He doesn't want a guy where he was in there with me, Mike. He knows firsthand how good I am. He knows the feeling of being locked in an octagon with me. So, you know, he knew that he got lucky and he escaped the first time. So he can't prove it, Mike. He can't prove that he's the best and that he really beat me fair and square, because he didn't beat me fair and square. He had a lucky ref. He had some lucky fake calls that were never actually real calls. And he knows he got lucky. So he's going to take this last fight with Masvidal. There's no other easy paydays for him to take. And he's going to ride off in the sunset. And, you know, I'll be champion again. I'll have my 10 pounds of gold. And, you know, I'll come bring it cage side to you again when you're there.
Yeah, you bring it over, man. When you get that 10 pounds of gold this week, Alessandro's going for his second belt in a second weight class. Let's walk down the road a little bit here with Mr. Chaos here. So you get that belt from Usman. What will be your plans? Or do you have? Because he'll be the fourth guy to become a champ if he does it. If Alessandro does it, will you one day try to move to a different division after winning this belt and try to get another belt and become a champ?
100%. You know, Mike, I wanted to be a champ. You know, I wanted to be the first triple champ in company history. And when I was going to beat Usman, and I was on my way to beat him, because I was up 3-1 by the judges, and, you know, everybody knew I was winning that fight before they stopped it way too early. You know, if I would have got the belt then, I would have went up to 185 and I would have fought Adesanya. I want to fight him. You know, he's a great striker. Don't get me wrong. Great fighter, finishes fights, but I'm a different stylistic matchup than he's ever had to fight, Mike. I have no quit. I have an unrelenting will, and I fight for the troops. You know, I stand tall for our law enforcement, for our military. And I take those guys' energy in there when I walk in that cage. I want to fight to the death, you know, and the way they sacrifice everything for our freedom. I'm the same way I go in there and I fight Naka. I'm going to be unrelenting pressure, unrelenting pace. I'm going to be in your face from start to finish. And I'm not going to give you a chance to get comfortable and set up your strikes. I'm going to be in your face. I'm going to take you down. I'm going to punch you really hard. And I'm going to either submit you or knock you out. And that's that. So, you know, I wanted to go get the 185 belt, 170 belt, and then hopefully, you know, maybe meet in the middle with the 155-pound champion, the guy Khabib Nurmagomedov, and we could square up and do a super fight. We meet in the middle of the weight classes.
Dude, and I said, I'm trying to let you go. And then you throw Khabib in here. I'm trying to let you go. Hey, how you going to throw Khabib out? You know what I mean? Hey. I'm trying to say, all right, I'll let you go. And then you throw Khabib in because that'll be, oh, my God. That would be another if he came out of retirement and threw in this fight. I've been watching this other guy, too, that Khabib is training now. And I don't know how to pronounce his name. Here's another one of those names. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he's a pretty good fighter. And I think he's fighting this weekend also. He's fighting this weekend. And Jan's fighting this weekend. That's another bad dude. What are your thoughts on him? Who do you think? Give me those three championship fights. Who wins those fights this weekend?
If I'm betting on it, I would definitely go Adesanya, Nunes, and Sterling. I think Sterling
you
has
think
an X-factor.
Sterling, Aljamain? You think Aljamain going to be Jan?
I think so, man. I think he's going to take him down, Mike. And Peter Yan is an unbelievable striker, and he's been, you know, knocking dudes out. And he looks unbelievable. But, dude, Sterling looks like a man on a mission. And when he gets you to the ground, he submits you. He puts you out cold. So, you know, I got to go with my boy Sterling, man. He's a good friend of mine. He's a very hard worker, and, you know, he's doing good things. He just got a little sponsor by Trojan Condoms. So, you know, he could keep safe out there.
You're the best, man. You're the best, boy. So many. I wish they could really hear a conversation that we have. That'd be some real good stuff. But then
behind closed doors,
I wouldn't have a job anymore after that. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have a job. So hey, listen, man. Thanks for taking the time to chop it up, man. You know you're my boy, and I love you, man. I can say that even though people will get crazy about you on the Trump thing. Yeah. Have you had a chance to talk to Donald yet? Donald Trump, how's he doing after things didn't go so well for him in the election?
He's doing good. You know, he's still keeping his head held high. He's enjoying life in Mar-a-Lago, Florida. And, you know, he might make another run, he said, in 2024. So, you know, the movement's not over. He started a movement, and, you know, he wants to put America first. You know, whatever people want to say that he's racist or this and that, you know, there's no facts to support that, you know, and he just wants to put the people first of America. And he wants to stand up to big tech, and he wants to stand up to the establishment, man. Look at how the government treats us, man. They're running us like cattle, man. We're shut down. No businesses, but sports are essential. Oh, but they make millions of dollars. Those guys are okay if they don't ever have to go to their jobs. But what about these small businesses where they have to work hard to provide food on the table for a family? You're saying they can't go to work to put food on the family for them? It's not fair. It's hypocritical. And, you know, we need to stand up as the people and do what's right. We have constitutional rights here in America. Let's not forget about those.
I think all of us will agree that we all want to get back to our normal way of life and get back as soon as possible. And I mean that shouldn't have anything to do with politics. That should just have everything to do with human beings. We want to get back to where we were and our way of life. Kobe, thanks for taking the time on the MIP, buddy. You're giving me all this time. I really enjoyed it, buddy. You're the best.
God bless you, Michael. Thank you so much, brother.
Thanks for downloading the MIP. Check out new episodes of the Michael Irvin Podcast every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.
Microsoft Teams is helping Priority Bicycles reinvent the way they work. When the pandemic hit, the bike shop had to close their New York City showroom. They found a way to reopen by doing virtual visits on Teams. Now, the team can meet with two or three times the number of customers than they could before. and people from all over the world can visit their showroom. Learn more about their story and others at Microsoft.com/teams.